morning. We are so grateful that you are with us today. Is everybody doing okay? Everybody doing well? All right. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a bulletin. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for joining with us for worship this morning. And hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out and either drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table out here in the foyer, that would be so helpful to us. But hopefully everybody who came in received a bulletin. So let's take it out and let's kind of go over some of the things. And you can tell by the top of the center column in our bulletin that we're in summer mode. So summer mode means there's not a whole lot going on here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. But you'll see underneath it a list of some of the things that are going to be happening and the dates of those. And so I hope that you'll pay attention to those. Let me just remind you that parents, there is no children's church for the summer. But we have children's bulletins and we have coloring pencils out on the information table. And so hopefully you've already picked those up. And if not, please make sure that you go out in just a moment or two and pick those up. We also have on the information table our devotional books, The Daily Bread, for the next quarter, beginning with June. And even though we're a few days into June, it's not too late to pick one of those up and then go back and do that. Next Sunday morning, after our morning service, we are going to be having our church family dinner, and our theme will be chicken. So you have instructions there. Bring a main dish, either fried chicken, chicken casseroles, chicken pot pie. Well, you get the idea, right? And a side dish, a salad, or a dessert to be able to help go along with the... some of you are paying attention. That's really good, okay? So that we can have chicken and a lot of other things. So I hope that you have that on your calendar to be able to come and to be able to help us with that. We need to keep the Lindstrom family in our prayers. Jeff's mom went home to be with the Lord, and the funeral service was on Friday morning. And so let's just continue to be reminded to pray for them. And then I want to draw your attention to a prayer request on the back of the bulletin. Actually, I'll do two. Paul Henning's sister Carol is in Texas, and there was some improvement in the earlier part of the week, but now some of that improvement isn't there, and she may need another surgery or procedure. And so we need to continue to pray for Paul's sister Carol and her family as well. You will also see that there's a prayer request for Jesse Schofield. Jesse is going to be serving up at Shiloh Bible Camp all summer long, and he's going to come and he's going to tell us about some of the things that he thinks God is going to use him to be able to do this summer up at Shiloh Bible Camp. So Jesse, come on up. I was kidding him earlier. I said we're giving him a microphone so that he could lead singing in place of his dad. So his dad lost his voice just the other day, and so that's why Jared's not leading worship this morning. But we're still going to have a good time of worship. Amen? Even with Jesse leading. No, Jesse's not going to lead. No. All right. No, he's going to tell us about camp. So, Jesse, tell us about camp.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. My name is Jesse Schofield. If you don't know me, I'm Jared's son. But I'm going to be serving up at Shiloh Bible Camp this summer, and I'm going to be a summer missionary. So what that entails is I'm going to be a cabin leader for kids from third grade up to eighth grade for the summer camps up there. I'm going to be a leader, be a good example, have fun with the kids, and most importantly, tell them more about Jesus. So I've been doing this for quite a while now. This is going to be my ninth time up at Shiloh Bible Camp. I think that God's been calling me to do this every summer and just be a light to these kids, that I can be up there, serve them for Him, and just have fun and impact their lives. So I'm going to be up there for about 6 weeks this summer, just from the third and fourth grade camp up to, I think there's 2 fifth and sixth grade camps, but just for 6 weeks up at the summer. I'm only going to be down for Fourth of July week and Father's Day weekend, but I'm just going to be up there all summer. So if you guys would like to support me, that'd be fantastic. Either prayers or financially or whatever. That would be amazing. Definitely prayers for our summer missionary team, because we've been a little bit struggling trying to find volunteers and just staff to cover throughout the summer. But yeah, just prayers for that. And yeah, thank you so much for everything you guys done. And thanks for this opportunity to share about Shiloh. So yeah, all
right.
Thank you.
Stay right here. Okay. So I think in light of what Jesse's going to be doing and in light of what he's shared with us, let's take a moment and let's just pray that God will use him in a mighty way as he goes up and serves this summer at Shiloh Bible Camp. Father, we thank you for Jesse. Lord, we thank you for his family, and we thank you that you have touched his heart to be able to give time this summer, to be able to serve on a fairly consistent basis up at Shiloh Bible Camp. And Father, I thank you for his energy. Lord, I thank you for his personality. But most of all, I thank you for his Bible knowledge. Lord, and I pray that he will be able to tell others about you. I pray that he will be able to help people to be able to understand how important it is for them to believe in Jesus as Savior. Father, I pray that you will help him to be able to bring them to God or to bring them closer to God. Father, I pray that you will use him in a mighty way. And Father, I pray that at the end of this, if you should tarry, that he will have many, many opportunities to share with us, his church family, of how God used him and how God worked in him this week, this summer at camp, and how God worked through him this summer at camp as well. So, Father, we pray that you'll protect him. We pray that you'll use him. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Dave and Carissa are going to be leading us in worship this morning. So, are you ready? All right, ready or not, here they come.
Please stand. And a number of you have requested that we have some music out of the hymnal. So guess what? Here we go. So Jared's illness has kind of created an opportunity. So our first song is my all-time favorite, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the verse that kind of goes through with that is out of Lamentations. And it says, the Lord's compassions are new every morning. Isn't that kind of cool? So, at your leisure.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Shadow of turning with thee, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Okay. And then we're going to sing Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. With all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign nor a fear, only faith, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we the joy He bestows, and for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You may be seated. Now we're going to sing my all-time favorite hymn, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He had done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Well, we're going to take the offering next while we sing my all-time favorite hymn, which is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Sometimes it's good for us to sing all of Dave's favorite songs, huh? All right. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And for those of you that are guests with us this morning, just to kind of fill you in a little bit, we've been doing a study in the book of Exodus, and we've come to the place to where the Israelites have gathered at Mount Sinai, and God is giving to them the beginning of his instructions for them to prepare them as they are getting ready to go back to the promised land, to the land of Canaan. And so we're at the Ten Commandments what we know is to be the Ten Commandments. And we've been looking at each one of these commandments on an individual basis. And many of you have told me how this has been meaningful to you and how you have learned many, many things. And for that, I am grateful, because that was part of the purpose of me slowing down and taking each one of these commandments one at a time. And so, children, even though I miss calling you up after our praise and worship to pray with you to send you off to Children's Church, and we're not going to be doing that for a couple months, I miss that. But I think if there's really a time when it is really appropriate for you to be a part of our message time, our sermon time, it is this message this morning. Because we're going to be talking about the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I expected that there would be a whole host of children walking out, right, as a result of that. But I'm glad that they're staying. And so I hope that you will pay attention to what it is that God's word has to say. A survey was taken among a group of parents, asking them what the main thing is that they wanted for their children. Here are some of the responses. To believe in Jesus as Savior and make him known to others. Oh, did we see that as kind of brought out this morning as Jesse shared with us what it is that God is going to hopefully be using him to do this coming summer at Shiloh Bible Camp? I think so. To see God's presence. For them to respect and obey God's word. For them to love God deeply and to honor him with their lives. And then for them to respect those in authority. Did you notice how each one of those responses really could be all boiled down to one particular word, one particular topic, the topic of respect? And so you might be saying, okay, Pastor, I get that, but how can we restore respect to a society that seems to have lost it? How can we bring back a sense of civility before it destroys our way of life as we know it? Well, the answer is really quite simple. And I think the answer is found here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Respect starts at home. Again, hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 20 in your Bible. Follow along as I read verse 12 once again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, before we go too much farther into the bulk of our sermon this morning, let's make some observations. The first observation is this. This is the first commandment dealing with the family. The fifth commandment focuses on the parent-child relationship, while the seventh commandment calls us to marital fidelity. Family life is important. It's important to the strength of a culture. As the family goes, so goes the nation. As the family goes, so goes the church. And this commandment is given to children of all ages. Let me say that again. This commandment is given to children of all ages. Notice he doesn't say little children. He doesn't say little children and preteen children and teenage children and early adult children. He says what? Children. Okay? All right? Honor your father and your mother. This is given to children of all ages. The atmosphere of the home is in large part related to the response of the children, not just to the loving leadership of the parents. This command is a present imperative, which in the Hebrew means we are to be in the habit of honoring it continually. This is not a suggestion, but rather a non-negotiable instruction. This isn't something that children can say, well, God, I know that you told me I need to honor my parents, but there's no buts. There's no ands. There's no ifs. This is non-negotiable. And this application of this instruction is for all of us. Even though this commandment was given to the Israelites, the application, in an indirect way, is given to all of us. Notice how many times the word your is used, 4 times, and the word you is used once. I think it's inclusive for every single one of us. Now, as I've already said, this instruction primarily was given to the Israelites, and it was given for a purpose. They had just come out of slavery and oppression and were being led back to a land that had been promised to them before this. They were going to enter back into a land where they were going to establish a new society under a different set of values. Values which would reflect their newfound freedom from slavery and oppression and control. Now, remember back to the book of Genesis. Back in the book of Genesis, God had led Abraham to the land of Canaan. And he had said, when Abraham got there, he said, this is the place. This is the place I have promised for you. This is the place I have set aside for you. This is the place that I want for you to be able to dwell. And at one point in time, he told Abraham, he said, walk throughout the land. Walk to the north, walk to the south, walk to the east, walk to the west. And everywhere that your foot steps, this is the land that I have given to you. But did you notice that when God brought Abraham and his family and all of his things that he had taken with him out of the Ur of Chaldees, he didn't give them a whole lot of instructions. He didn't give them any commands. He didn't give them any laws for when they went into this land of Canaan. But now it's a different story. As he's bringing the Israelites back into the land of Canaan. Remember, the Israelites left the land of Canaan, went into Egypt because there was famine in the land of Canaan. They went into Egypt. God had raised up one of their own, one of the Israelites, to be the second in command of Egypt so that when they went down to buy food, there would be food for them so that God could continue to preserve the nation of Israel. Because he had a specific purpose and plan for the nation of Israel. And that purpose and plan was to use the nation of Israel to bring the Savior, when the time was right, into the world. And so they'd left Egypt, or they'd left Canaan. They came down to Egypt. God did not intend for the Israelites to stay in Egypt for how long? 400 years. But they did. And then they got put into slavery while they were there. Because there came a Pharaoh who what? Didn't know Joseph. And so they cried out to God about their slavery, about their oppression, about the control that they were under. And God heard their prayers. And then God worked in the heart and in the life of the Egyptians, and especially their leader, Pharaoh, to be able to eventually come to the point of saying to the Israelites, just get out of here. And get out of here as quickly as you can. And as you get out of here, take whatever it is that you want. Take our gold, take our jewelry, take our clothes, take whatever it is you want. Just get out of here. And God then was leading them back, where? To that same land of Canaan that he had led Abraham to centuries before. And to get them started in the proper direction as God was bringing them back into this land of Canaan, to get them started in a proper direction, God tells them through one of these instructions, through one of these commandments, if you want your society to be a long-lasting society in the land to which you are going, then be sure your children learn to honor their parents. That's really the scope of what God is telling them here in this fifth commandment. Why would he do that? Because God knows that that's the basis for a strong nation. When children learn to honor their parents, the nation has a strength. That's the basis for a civilization that will last. You know, if you read history about some of the great civilizations that have fallen by the wayside, been destroyed, been overrun by enemies. One of the leading causes for that to have happened was because the children lost respect for their parents. And because they lost respect for their parents, they lost respect for those who were placed in authority over them. That's the basis for a strong nation. That's the basis for a civilization that will last. That's the basis for a people that prosper, even in times of adversity. If children learn to honor their parents in the home, they become citizens that will respect each other in the community. If children learn to honor their parents in the home, they become citizens that will respect each other in the community. I think some of the things that we're seeing happening in our country, seeing in our society, have to do with the fact that our children have lost respect in the home, and they've lost respect for those in the community. If children learn to honor their parents in the home, they become citizens that will respect each other in the community. They won't kill each other. They won't steal from each other. And they will have a respect for and will enjoy the laws of the land. Respect begins in the home. Now, in order for this respect to happen, there needs to be some things that need to be understood. And I want us to take a few moments and see what those things are that need to be understood. The first thing is this: obey your parents. If you're still living at home with your parents, to honor them means do what they say. Yield to their authority, whether you agree with their decisions or not. You know, when I was growing up, there were times when I went to live back with my parents that I didn't agree with my parents' decisions. But you know what? That didn't make any difference. I still had to what? Obey them. I still had to follow them, whether I agreed or not. And sometimes, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they were right. And I was the one that was wrong when I questioned their decisions. And this is the way to apply God's instruction that's also given in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. For children, honor comes from obedience." And parents, this is one of the most important things we can teach our children. We must teach our children to obey, not because they have to, but because they'll want to, because of their love and respect for God, for His Word, and for us. A few years ago, the New York Times did a poll which found that 70% of Americans felt that people are ruder than they were 20 or 30 years ago. Some of you, in conversations that we've had, have expressed that very same thing. And according to the poll, the worst offenders were children. As parents, we want our children to do well in life, but we should be more concerned that they do good. We must teach them to be good, to obey, so that they will do well in life. Now, that doesn't mean that if we've done that and they get to a certain age to where they can make decisions on their own, where they can start to carve out their own life, that means, and they go in a way that we did not encourage them, we did not teach them, we did not help them to be able to know how to go, it's not on us. It's on them. But if we haven't done what it is that we know God's Word has told us to do, then you know what? It's on both of us. It's on them, and it is on us. We must teach them to be good, to obey, so that they will do well in life. The most important thing that we can teach our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-great-great, you fill in the blank, is to obey. Honor means obedience. And often, children do not understand this. A father here in Idaho said his hardest job is getting his teenage son to realize that no is a complete sentence. And you know, many children dishonor their parents by trying to wear them down and to make life miserable when they want something, or because they didn't get what it was that they wanted, when they didn't get their own way. Children, we shouldn't be doing that. We must teach them to obey, because in some instances, it could be a safety issue. How many of you have ever said as your children were growing up, don't go in the street. Don't go running out into the street. And if you have to go across the street, look both ways. And if there's cars coming, don't go into the street. Why did you do that? Because it was for their well-being. It was a safety issue. Children, sometimes parents are telling you to do something because it's a safety issue. They're telling you that not because they're hiding something from you. They're telling you that because they know it could put you in a dangerous position and they don't want you to go into that. Children, sometimes you have to understand that we as parents, we've already walked some of the places you're walking. We've already made some of the choices that we see you making. We already know the dangers of not respecting others. And we don't want that for you. Your parents don't want that for you. They want you to be better than that. They don't want you to make the same mistakes we made because we know what it is that we had to put up with as we've made some of those mistakes. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, teach your children about Jesus. Tell them what it means to believe in Jesus as Savior. And again, let me just stop here for a moment. By keeping these Ten Commandments does not mean that gives us eternal life. We have eternal life because we believe in Jesus as Savior. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But teach them to obey so they can learn to obey God. And they can learn to obey God's word. What does it say? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. So if you're a child still living at home, that means obey your parents. Now, if you're an adult child, oh, did you think you were going to get a pass this morning? Wrong. Now, if you're an adult child who has left a home, to honor your father and mother means a couple different things. First, it means respect your parents. The first place a child learns respect is in the home. And if they do not learn it there, and by the way, that's the first place they should learn it. Because they're not learning it in the schools. They're not learning it in society. So if they're not learning it in school and they're not learning it in society, there's two other places they need to learn. The first one is the home. The second is the church. But it's not the church's job alone to be able to help teach the children respect. That begins at home. Remember what we said? Respect starts at home. But if they do not learn it in the home, they will not respect others and authority as they go beyond the home. There will be other people in a child's life who are special and deserve respect. In other words, our parents are different from others in our life. Our parents should hold a very special place in our life. Whether we are children still in the process of growing up within that home or we are children who have grown up and are now out on our own, the same principle applies. Our parents should hold a very special place in our life. Treat your parents as important people. Now, we all understand that grown children are no longer under the obligation to obey their parents. But they should weigh their parents' words and life experiences very heavily. And they should treat their parents like VIPs. Now, you might be sitting here and you might be saying, whoa, Pastor, if I'd have known that you were going to preach this message, I would have had my kids here. I would have had my grown kids here. You know what? After the service today, take them to the website and let them set them down and say, I got something I want you to listen to. And not just listen, I want you to pay attention to what has been said, okay? We should treat our parents like VIPs. Now, you might say, well, but you know, our parents weren't perfect. I got news for you. You weren't the perfect parents either, or you're not the perfect parents either. And notice that God's instruction is not just to honor father and mother when you think they are right, nor is it to honor them just when you think they are perfect. They may not always do it right. You know, I was having this conversation with somebody here just a few days ago, and they said, yeah, you know, it would have been nice if God would have given us an instruction manual as parents for our kids. And I said, he did. And they went, what? And I said, he did. It's called the Bible. There's instructions in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, for us as parents as to what God expects of us as parents. Now, I'm going to clue you in a little bit, children. No matter how old you are, there are no perfect children either. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect children. They may not always do it right, but they deserve recognition for their influence in our lives. That's what Anna Jarvis wanted to do for her mother a few years after her mother died. Born in 1864 in Grafton, West Virginia, Anna Jarvis witnessed the aftermath of the Civil War through a child's eyes. Her mother, Anna Maria Reeves Jarvis, had spent the war organizing women to nurse wounded soldiers from both the North and South and attempting to hold her border state community together. After the war, Anna Maria started Mother's Friendship Days to reconcile families that had been divided by the conflict. Anna Maria gave up her dreams of college in order to tend to an older husband and four children. She bore the loss of seven other children with grace. She taught Sunday school in the local Methodist church for 20 years and stayed active in other charitable work. Anna Maria's death in 1905 devastated her daughter. 2 years later, Anna Maria's daughter, got the idea to create a holiday remembering her mother and all mothers, whom she felt could never be thanked enough. Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 in Grafton, West Virginia, where Anna grew up, and Philadelphia, where Anna lived later on as an adult. Later, in a resolution passed May 8, 1914, the U.S. Congress officially established the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Just a couple weeks ago, we celebrated Mother's Day, didn't we? Did we treat our mothers with respect? Did we treat our mothers as the VIPs in our life? Let me clue you in. In a couple weeks, it's Father's Day. Will we treat our fathers with honor? Will we treat them as VIPs? And let me tell you something. We need to do that not just on Mother's Day and not just on Father's Day. We need to do that every time that we know God has given us an opportunity to be able to do that. Anna Jarvis honored her mother, and so should you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and start another national holiday to do so. But you can show her and you can show your father your appreciation. You can call them on a regular basis. If they live close by, you can go and visit them and spend some quality time doing things with her and for her. And I know that your mothers and your fathers will appreciate that. Parents have given a large part of their lives for us. The least we can do is give them a little undistracted time in their presence. Can I put a little bug in your ear? I have an occasion to be able to eat out in restaurants a lot. You can tell, right? A lot. Okay. And it's interesting that when I see families come into a restaurant and I see them sit at a table or I see them sit in a booth, it's not very long that I see the kids and the parents get out their cell phones and they're spending more time on their cell phones than they are communicating with one another. I've had parents tell me that when their children come over for a visit, they spend more time on their cell phones than they do communicating. Are we really showing our parents how much we honor them? by not being willing to give them some undistracted time? And parents, are we showing our kids that they're important to us by not being willing to give them some undistracted time? When my kids come over and I'm watching the TV, even if I'm watching a ball game, the TV goes off. Because I don't want to be distracted. When I go to a restaurant with my family, I leave my phone in the car because I don't want to be distracted. Now, if they choose to bring their phones and they choose to sit there and be distracted, that's on them. But I want them to know I respect them and I love them and I cherish them and I appreciate the time that they are spending by not giving them time that's distracted, but giving them my undistracted time. When was the last time you gave your parents the respect of your undistracted time? When was the last time you sat down to have a good long talk without having to rush on to do something else? Some of us may need to do this later this afternoon. Because when we respect our parents, we show respect to God who gave them to us. And that also applies to our grandparents as well. There's a second way that we as grown children can honor our parents, not only through the avenue of respect, but also through the avenue of care. If you're a child still living at home, that means you obey your parents. If you're an adult child who has left the home, that means you respect them. And if you're an adult child whose parents can no longer care for themselves like they once used to, that means you care for your parents. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's talk a little bit about that. That means that maybe you can help provide for their needs financially if that's needed, if that's necessary. Support them in whatever way you are able and that which would be practical. And Jesus set the example for us in this. Remember when he was on the cross? Jesus made sure what? Before he said, "It is finished," what did he do? He made sure that his mother was cared for. He asked the only disciple, his closest disciple, John, who was at the cross with him, not on the cross, but at the cross. He asked his closest friend and disciple, John, to be like a son to his mother in his absence. And the Bible tells us, and John took Mary to his house and looked after her as if she was his own mother. To honor your parents means to care for them. Now, different families will apply this principle differently. Some may choose to keep their elderly parents with them in their own home. Some may choose to provide for a nursing facility or assisted living facility. Now, I've had parents say to me, "I don't want my kids picking my care facility." Let me clue you in then, parents. Then you better start the process yourself before you get to a place to where they have to make that decision. And you might say, "I'm not ready for that." You may be ready for that and not even know it. I'll be a little bit honest with you. From time to time, Becky and I say, maybe we should start looking into a care facility for us. Especially when I'm done mowing the lawn and I feel like I've been run over by a truck. And I mow the lawn and I come in, you know, and I do other things around the yard and around the house or in the garage or whatever. And I come in and I take a shower, which, by the way, showers after that feel so good. And then I sit down and then it's like, if I have to get up, do I want to get up? Can I get up? Is there somebody here I can ask for help to help me get up? Let me tell you something. If your parents are having trouble getting up off the couch or getting up out of their favorite chair, it might be time for you to make a visit to a furniture store and get them one of those chairs that lifts. You just push a button and you go up and you push a button, and you sit down in the chair, and you push a button, and it goes down. And they even recline, and I mean, they're wonderful. I see people in the care centers with those kinds of chairs all the time, and sometimes it's like, whoa, I would like one of those. But I already have a recliner. And at this point in time, I can get myself up out of the chair. It may take me a little longer than it used to, but I can still do it. All right? But you know what? We need to pay attention to those things. I'm now doing some chaplain work at Riverview Rehab down by Ann Morrison Park. And just this past Thursday morning, I had the opportunity to minister to two ladies, both of whom are at Riverview Rehab with broken legs. You know how they broke their legs? One was standing on a folding chair to get something from a high shelf, and she fell. Another one decided that it would be a really good idea to climb up on top of the toilet in the bathroom to get something off of a high shelf. She's at Riverview because she has a broken leg. And she now has three pins in her legs because of how bad the break was. Kids, not little kids, grown kids, go to your parents' house. Look around. See the things that are unsafe and say, what can we do to make this safer? What are some things that are way up on the high shelf that you need? And let's figure out if there's some things that we can move that you don't use ever and put them on the high shelf, and take the things that you think you use and put them on a lower shelf. I would not want to go to Riverview some Thursday morning and start to do my chaplain work and find out that one of your parents is there because they fell off a chair or off a ladder or a toilet, and they're there because they broke a bone in their body. Now you may think, yeah, that's no big deal. I can't tell you in the 9 years that I've been doing chaplain work how many people I've seen in a care center fall, break their hip, and never recover, and die as a result of a broken hip. Those of you that are older in our congregation, you know of people that that's happened to. Some of you who may yourself be living in a facility know people that that's happened to. They've fallen, they broke their hip, they never recovered. And shortly after that fall, they die. Is that what you want for your parents? So please, go to your parents' home if at all possible. Walk through the home, take a look at the things that could be deemed unsafe, and fix it. Fix it for them to show that you care for them. If you see that they are becoming more and more limited in what it is that they can do than what they used to be able to do, maybe in the back of your mind already start thinking about how can we approach this topic of maybe we're getting close to the time to where it's not a good idea for you to be by yourself. It's not a good idea. You don't know how many times in the places that I do chaplain work in some of these care facilities that I've had to meet with family members who say, well, we're just kind of checking it out, and we're not sure that it's time. And so I start asking some very important questions. And how many of them I've had to say to them, I think it's time. I think it's time. Maybe if you say, well, man, you know, if I do that, I'm going to have a fight on my hands. Well, you know what? Maybe take your parents out for lunch and then say, you know what? We're not too far away from this particular facility. Let's go take a look at it. Let's just kind of walk in. Let's just kind of take a look at it. If there's some staff available, maybe we can ask a few questions, but let's just go take a look at it and begin to get them to the place. And let me tell you something. You've got to make sure that if you make the decision that, oh no, my parents are never going to go to any place like that, I'm going to take care of them. The older that you get, the less of the proper care you're going to be able to give to them. And the more care that you have to give to them, you're going to put your own health in jeopardy. I've seen it, where children have taken their parents into their own home and begin to care for them, and before long, the kids' health is as bad, if not worse, than the parents' health. And before long, both of them need to be in a care facility with people who are trained to be able to give them the proper care that is required for them. Now, I know you love them. I know you don't want to see that happen, but you have to understand you've got a responsibility to take care of your health, because there are people depending on you, just like your parents may have come to the place of depending on themselves. Now, the only reason why I can tell you all of this is because I see it over and over and over again with my own eyes. And I've had to help countless number of children, grown children, help make some of these decisions for their parents. It is better to start that process. And parents, when your children come over and they're inspecting your house, and they say, you know, mom and dad, I'm a little bit concerned about this. Don't go, oh, it'll be all right. I only have to get the ladder out maybe once a year to be able to get down. Don't do that. Let your children help you. Make sure that the place that you are at is a safe place. Because you see, it goes two ways. It goes two ways. In fact, one of these ladies on Thursday told me that months ago, her daughter came and said, Mom, is there anything that we need to rearrange? And the mom said, oh, no, because I don't have to get up there very often to be able to get that. And you know, it's okay. Yeah, she's now at Riverview with 3 pins in her leg because she fell off the toilet reaching for something on a high shelf. We need to obey our parents. We need to respect our parents. And if they and us live long enough, there comes a point in time to where we have to care for our parents. None of us have the option of neglecting our parents when they have a need, and we are able to supply that need. To do so would be to show the most disrespect and dishonor. Now, many in our society are fighting for the right to die. They say that the elderly and the infirm should have access to physician-assisted suicide so they can end their lives with dignity whenever and wherever they want to. The problem with this is that the elderly and the infirm begin to feel their right to die is an obligation to die, so that they won't become a burden to their families. When mom and dad call and say, I have a need, don't go, oh, not again. Are you kidding me? Why can't they do this? We have an obligation to make sure that we're not leading them to a place to where they feel like they are a burden. And the only way that they can release us of the burden of them is for them to end their life. This is not dying with dignity. This is dying with the utmost disrespect. We have an obligation to care for the elderly and the infirmed, not to hasten their death through physician-assisted suicide. If this ever really catches on in our society, we cannot survive very long as a nation. Such a disrespect for life will ruin us in the end, and I think we're already headed in that direction. Because we as a nation have already lost too much respect for those in need. To honor the elderly and the infirmed, who are our parents, means to care for them the best way we can, not the hope that they die soon so that we can get what's left of their estate. God's instruction is very clear. Honor your father and mother. It's the right thing to do. It's always right to honor our parents. How do we honor them? Obey them. If we're still in the home, respect them and care for them. Let me leave you with this. Your parents brought you up, or in some cases are continuing to bring you up. Don't let them down. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning from your word. Father, help us to honor you by honoring our parents. Father, we honor our parents by obeying them if we are children still in the home. We honor our parents by respecting them, no matter what our age. And we honor our parents by caring for them as we see them becoming more and more limited, more and more not being able to do the things they once were able to do, helping them to make the place that they are at a safe place, helping them to realize that maybe it's time to begin to have some conversations about maybe going to a place to where there is professional care, where there is care that is best for them, where it is care that is continual for them instead of once every so often. So, Father, I pray that we will take this message to heart. Father, help us to be able to obey, respect, and honor our parents as you desire for us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
His glories now we see.